We're going to transition from the Old Testament looking at missions to the New Testament. We're going to Matthew. What's probably the most commonly referred to passage for missions. The passage which we usually refer to, or is commonly referred to, as the Great Commission passage. And it is a great commission. It's great in many, many ways. One, who gave it. And two, the depth and breadth of that commission. And the most important is why it was given. So let's turn to Matthew. We're going to read the last four or five verses here. Let's start with verse 16. It says in chapter 28, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this commission. Now, Lord, we ask that you would give us understanding. Lord, show us what it is you have commissioned us to do. Lord, we don't want to be running around blindly, each doing our own thing. But we want to be doing that task to which you have set us, unified as the body. Lord, we come before you this morning, saying, Lord, speak to us through your scriptures. Show us what it is you would have us be doing in our lives today. Show us how this word here applies to each and every one of us. Father God, I pray right now that as I preach this morning, that I would step back and you would come forward, that you would use me to speak your truth in power. Lord, I pray for the encouragement of your people here. Lord, we pray that your name would be lifted up and glorified, your people encouraged and blessed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Great Commission. I've got the little subheading over mine. Anybody else have that? That's really not scriptural, the little subheadings. It's just an editorial thing that the people who published my version that I'm reading in the Bible put in there. But it does really describe what goes on in this passage fairly well. It is indeed a commission. That is, the giving of a task, of a job to do. And it is indeed a great commission. It's not a little job. It's not like, you know, will you take the trash out? It's not even, will you build me a house? This is a commission that comes from a place of all authority. This is one of those places where we can point to and see that where the authority for missions comes from. We looked at the Old Testament, a couple passages in Isaiah, and then we actually looked at the entirety of Jonah, and how God really always has had a heart for missions. The very promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, is that you will be a blessing to all nations. This is the blessing that's spoken of. The gospel. What's promised. We're seeing the fulfillment laid out right here. Well, we're after the crucifixion and resurrection. And quite frankly, the disciples are just a little bit confused. Okay? Their world has been turned upside down and thrown back and forth. They are literally punch drunk. They don't know they're kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? They're not thinking that well. They're not tracking so great. I mean, let's face it, the disciples never really got at what Jesus said the first time, anytime he taught it. It always took them a couple tries. It gives me hope. Now, I didn't understand the first time. Well, that's okay. Jesus tells us again. And then he tells them again. Some things they didn't want to believe. They did the la 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 la. I don't like that, so I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. That was pretty much what they did every time he talked about the fact that he was going to be crucified. We don't like that one. Don't like it. Not going to pay attention to it. But then it happened. They witnessed it. They were there when Jesus was arrested. John stood there at the foot of the cross and saw Jesus give up his life. But then, 3 days later, the ladies go to the tomb, and he's not there. The apostles go to the tomb. He's not there. He's risen. He's not dead. This is different. Most people, when you kill them, they stay dead. And even we have the example of Lazarus. Yes, Lazarus died of illness. And he's in the tomb. But then he had Jesus who stood outside of the tomb and said, come forth. There was nobody outside the tomb saying, come forth. It just he was. He, all on his own, defeated death. The disciples are going, okay. They're just a little confused. But they do remember Jesus said, go here. He'd given them specific instructions. He said, go to Galilee, meet me at this particular place on the mountain. Which mountain? We don't know. They knew which one it was. Possibly the same place he'd done a lot of other speaking or meeting. Ministry time with his disciples. But probably a favorite place of theirs. That's conjecture on my part. But they knew where they were going. They went there. They got there. And Jesus shows up. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So they showed up there on this mountain in Galilee, and they see Jesus and they worship. Now we know for a fact that there's at least the 11. Are there more people there? We don't know. There could be. Could not. I mean, quite frankly, wherever Jesus showed up, more people always ended up following. The disciples all going one place. Probably people going, well, where are they going? Aren't those guys? Especially the people in Galilee. They knew the disciples. They knew who these guys were. They'd heard what's going on. Well, where are these guys going? What's happening? So there could be other people there, or it could be just a private group. We don't know. We can make conjecture. You know what? It's not important. It's really not important. What is important is that disciples were there, and Jesus was there. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped. They had a worship meeting together to praise God. No, they worshiped Jesus. So yes, they did have this worship meeting to praise God. But they weren't worshiping directly Father in heaven. They were worshiping directly Jesus. The resurrected Jesus was standing there in front of them and they worshiped. Then we have this phrase that says, and some doubted. Now, some people get all twisted up in this. And there's some conjecture. What does this mean? What was it on? And in all the various commentaries and things that I read, it comes down to, we don't know. They're really not quite sure. It could mean this, it could mean that. Personally, as I look at this, what was being doubted? Were they doubting Jesus? Were they doubting themselves? Were they doubting their ability to follow through on the commission that they were going to be given? Is Matthew just saying, you know, there were some people who, they're still confused after all that's going on. They didn't have everything. Their theology wasn't perfected yet. I don't know. That's kind of the direction I go, personally. This is just me. And I look at that, and I see they worshipped and some doubted. And yet we move on, and Jesus gives the commission. Even doesn't say He only gave commission to those whose belief was perfect and without doubt, without point of confusion. He said, no, here's my commission, and He gave it to them all. Called them. He said, here. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I want you to do. When He saw them, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Me. Telling them by what right He's about to give them this task. But He didn't preface it by saying, now I'm doing this only to the certain group. He's talking to all of them. Me? That means, you know what? If I don't have everything perfect in my understanding about God, that's okay. Am I trusting in God? You know, I really don't have to have a perfect understanding as to whether or not this chair will hold my weight. I don't have to have perfect faith or perfect understanding in it. Is if I stand on it, you know what? It does hold me. Even though my understanding wasn't perfect, and I may have doubted that it would hold me, because not all chairs will hold me. This is the truth. But this one does. I can go to God. We can go to God. And as long as we're trusting in Him and going to Him and worshiping Him, He'll take care of it. Am I trusting in Jesus? Is my understanding, do I have any doubts about, well, is Jesus going to get me through this? Oh no, I doubted, so now I've lost my... No. I look at this and I just see, you know, the disciples were people and not perfect, and Jesus received them the way that they were. And then He gave them a job. Okay, but before we get to the job, what's His authority? All authority. on heaven and earth. When did he get this authority? Well, again, some people make a big deal. Was it, did he receive this authority upon the resurrection? Did he receive this authority at the crucifixion? Did he receive this authority earlier? Maybe at the transfiguration? Maybe it was at his baptism with John the Baptist? Maybe it was he's always had it? After all, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. It was through him that all things were created. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all participated in that. The exact moment of when he received that authority, again, I read different things and some people got all excited about one thing and it doesn't matter. He has the authority at this point in time and he's using that and he's saying, okay, people, listen up. I have the authority to tell you what I'm going to do to commission you for this job. Listen. It says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. That's the job. Right there. Make disciples. Jesus gave his 11 disciples the task of making more disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. He tells them who? Of all nations. That means everybody. Every people group. You're to go out and make disciples in every group. There's nobody that's excluded from this group. Jews, Gentiles, whatever, whoever. They're all included under this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Sometimes we talk about this, therefore, as you're going, as you go through your daily life. But is it also a sending statement? I'm saying, go and do this. Now, how can you therefore go and do it of all nations if you don't actually go to all the nations? Well, I'm just not excluding anybody who I run into. I'm just making sure I only stay, I stay in the Jewish quarter, so I don't have to worry about anybody from any of those Gentile guys. No, that's not what... As long as I just therefore go within my little thing, I don't have to touch any other group. No. He's telling them to go. We're to see to it that the gospel is taken. Everywhere. Every corner of the earth. Which is kind of interesting because it's round so there's no corners. But we'll still use that phrase. And then we talk about going. But we don't go anywhere. Here we said, go. Sometimes we need to go. Get up out of our comfort zone and go. Sometimes it's just to the person sitting directly next to us at work, at the restaurant, at a movie. I don't want to bring up the discussion, what will give you opportunity to share the gospel, but there will at some point be that opportunity. And we're to take advantage of it. The disciples were to take advantage of it. You say, well, Pastor, there's talking to the 12 or to the 11. Because, Judas, he didn't fare so well. He's no longer included. Well, we have the 11. So what are they told? He says to baptize. You're supposed to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Okay, now baptizing and teaching is to making disciples, like me saying, go out and prepare a meal. Oh, by the way, I'd like to have food and drink in that meal. You go. Well, duh. If I'm going to have a meal, I'm going to have food and drink, right? baptizing, and teaching has the same relationship in their minds. Because one was not a disciple if they weren't baptized. What? That's what they did back then. John the Baptist was doing it. Jesus did it. I mean, we had all this stuff going on. That's how you knew you were following this group. You were baptized. And you followed the instruction of the teacher. Well, we're to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then to teach them to obey everything I have taught you. Now, with the baptizing, they're to be baptized and they're to be instructed to obey everything. Every command I've given you, you're to teach them those commands, and they're to do them too. Jesus gave the disciples the command to go forth and to make disciples. And the disciples are to teach those whom they disciple to go and make more disciples. It's the job of every disciple to follow all the commands of Jesus. Not most of them, not some of them, not just one of them, but all of them. That includes making more disciples. Well, some of us get a little nervous at this point because we say, I don't recall ever discipling anybody. You don't? Well, maybe you better pray on that one. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you haven't. You probably have. But maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never actually been part of leading somebody to Jesus, teaching somebody to how to walk closer to Jesus. But I don't see how you can if you're truly following Jesus. You can't do anything other than follow Jesus. You can't do anything other than be one who instructs others on how to follow Jesus. Because that's the command. It's the great commandment. Why is it great? Again, it's going to follow through. This is a standing order as far as the military goes. Everybody's to do this. Not to be removed. This is our job. Take the gospel to all those who don't have it. Why? Because they all need it. Everybody needs it. Not some of us, all of us. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, the command that Jesus gives us here comes with a blessing. It's not the command of, or else. If you don't do this, I'm going to smite thee. It's, if you do this, I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. Whoa! That's a nice blessing. At least I think so. I like Jesus. I kind of like the idea that he's going to be with me always. And he'll be with my kids. And he'll be with my grandkids. As long as they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. As long as they've become disciples. As long as they've been baptized and instructed. Again, remember, baptizing, it's not... The important thing isn't that they were dunked in some water or sprinkled with some water. The important thing is here is that baptism was the sign of them saying, I am going to follow Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my teacher. And then we have the instruction part. No disciple can just make that claim and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. And then say, okay, see you later, Jesus, I'm out of here. We got to follow him. That's what disciple means. You follow him. You stay with him. And he says, you know what? I'm going to be with you all the days of your life. Not some, not most, but all. The good days, the bad days. He says he'll be there with us. Now that is a blessing. People, this is the Great Commission. This is God's heart. This is why the church is. We exist, the church exists for the purpose of making more disciples. We do not exist so that we can feel good, though we can feel good by being part of the church and being part with Jesus. We don't exist so that we can receive blessings, the church. We, the church, remember, the church is every single person who receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We don't exist for our benefit. We exist for the benefit of those who don't know Jesus. That's the command. Go forth and make more disciples. The church was created for the very purpose of perpetuating itself and growing and bringing the gospel message to those who don't have it, because without it, those people face a Christless eternity. But with it, he is with us to the very end of the age. And quite frankly, beyond. So to quote a great theologian, to infinity and beyond. Buzz Lightyear. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your command. Lord, you have told us to go and create disciples. Father, might we be faithful in following through and making disciples. Lord, might we bring them to Christ, and might we instruct them in following you. And Lord, might we follow you as we do so every day of our lives. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.